take our Bible and stand together, please. I'm reading from Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9 in your Bible. And look there to verse number 17. Mark 9, verse number 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they could should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw it, the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Look again at verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Father, Lord, I pray that you would bless now this service. God, take this passage of Scripture and speak to our heart. Lord, I pray as the preacher that you would help me to be able to preach. But more importantly, that you would help all of us to be able to hear, not the words of men, but rather, God, the voice of the Spirit. God, as he instructs us, as he speaks to us and guides us, and Lord, that somehow, some way, in this place in Scripture, you might convict us and call us. And God, indeed, that you might somehow comfort our hearts and lead us in a way in which we'll leave this place in a little while with a greater desire that our faith might grow and that our life might be counted as faithful. Lord, do something today that is your work. For these that are lost, we pray that today would be a day they'd come to Jesus. Lord, for some who are in their Christian life but losing the battle with the temptation and the devil is winning, Lord, we pray that today might be a day when they become overcomers. Lord, it's your service. We pray that you'll have your way in every situation, and especially at the time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Friend, I'm speaking now from that one verse that tells us in verse 24, when this father said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Everyone in this room has a burden, and most of us have many burdens. But there are some of you in this room that have an extra special burden, maybe something that you have borne for a long time, and maybe something that has just overwhelmed you recently, but a burden nonetheless. Maybe it has to do with someone in your family. Possibly it has to do with your own life. It may have to do with health. It may have to do with a spiritual need. Whatever it is, it's a real, it's a genuine burden. What can we do with our burdens? I could say to you, here's what we should do. Let's take all of our burdens and give them to Jesus, and that's all you need to know. Let's go home. Well, the truth of the matter is, that's a trite statement, but it's a very powerful statement just the same. And in the passage of Scripture that we have, we find a man that has a tremendous burden. And that burden has caused him to come for help. And it has brought him to the very presence of Jesus. And there, in the presence of Jesus, he brings his burden to the Lord. And then in the midst of that, he is questioned by the Lord. And the Lord asks him, and he says, ask him if you would believe. And he says, I believe. And then he said, help my unbelief. And because of that, I want you to see these simple things in your Bible. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I think it was an honest statement by this man, and therefore I think that it's important for you and for me to grasp what the entire story says. Number one, I want you to see the situation that existed. First, we see a boy's battle with the flesh. Here was a boy. We do not know exactly how old this young man is, but here is a boy that the devil, in this case a demon, possessed him. When you read the New Testament, you'll find that many times Jesus dealt with demon possession, and he cast demons out of people. Well, the Bible tells us that that was the case here, and this boy had a demon that he had had from the time that he was a child, and the demon would take him, and in Matthew chapter 17, it says that he was a lunatic. That's how his father described him, and these are strong words. In this passage, it says that he was dumb, and Jesus says that he was deaf and dumb, and the father explained that the demon would take him and cast him into the fire, or cast him into the lake, and, well, trying to harm him. Needless to say, this young man had a battle with the flesh and in the flesh. There was something going on in his life that was so horrible, and everyone who saw him, they were witness to that, and his father saw him and was there with him and cared for him, and he was crushed by what he saw over and over again. Number one, we see the boy's battle with the flesh. You know, it does not matter. It could well be in this room there is a father here. And you have a son or you have a daughter who has a battle in their life, a battle with the flesh, maybe a battle with addiction, maybe some other type of battle, whatever. I could name a bunch and not name the battle you're going through. And you as a father, or you as a mom, as a parent, you have a burden and you're so overwhelmed for that child. Maybe you can understand where this father is. Every dad, every mom can understand, I trust. We see not only the boy's battle with the flesh, but we see the father's burden for his son. We see a father who watches his son as he is on the floor there, and he's going through convulsions. We see as the demon takes hold of him and does all these things, and we see a father who's crushed day after day after day. From the time this boy was a child, the demon has destroyed his life. I can understand the father's brokenness. I can understand the father's burden. And so he does what any father would do. He says, I'm going to get him help. Possibly he had taken the boy to the school and said, can you help him? And the school, I'm sure, tried, but nothing worked. He took him to the medical doctor. Can you help him? And the doctor tried, but nothing worked. I can sense that, and I read that between the lines in this way, because now we see this father bringing this boy to the disciples of Jesus. Jesus is on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah, and that's another story altogether. But he comes down off of that mountain, and he finds there those other disciples, those nine that were left. And as they were there, the story was told to Jesus about this man that brought his son. And those who were there tried to help, but they couldn't do a thing. Isn't it a tragic thing? As you read right here, you see that here was a church that could not do one thing. Here was a church that a man brought his son, and he said, can you do something? And I'm sure they tried, but they couldn't do anything. We not only see a boy's battle with the flesh and a father's burden for his son, but then we see a church's blunder. Verse number 18 says, they could not heal him. Think about it just a moment. They had healed others. They had done many wonderful works before, but in this case, they could not heal that boy. They tried. I'm sure they prayed for him. I'm sure they laid hands on him, as the New Testament would tell us. I'm sure that all of that had taken place. They had done everything they had done before, but for some reason, they could not heal this boy. Here is a church that has the power of God. Here is a church that in those days, at that time, with the Holy Spirit's gifting of the church, they had the power to heal this boy, and yet here is a church they could not. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that I thought about that yesterday when Jeff called me, or the night before. He told me about Saray, and I thought to myself, as a pastor, I couldn't help but think about this, students. As a pastor, I thought to myself, what could we have done? I thought, what did we do wrong? How is it possible that we could not? How is it possible that we could not avert this situation? How is it possible that we had time, we had sermon after sermon, we had Sunday school class after Sunday school class, we had time, all kinds of events, everything, and yet somehow, some way, we didn't do it? We see a church's blunder. Number one, the situation that existed. Number two, the conversation that ensued. The Bible tells us in verse number 21 that here is a father that is explaining to Jesus what's going on with his son, and we can just hear the his groaning in his spirit. And in verse 21, he asked the father, Jesus did, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Now I can sense this. I can sense this this question and the answer. I can sense the father saying, since he was a little boy. From the time that he was a child, this battle with the flesh, this struggle with the flesh, it's gone on all of his life. There are people in this room that could say very similar things about your life or about maybe someone in your family. It's been over and over and over and over again. It's a battle with the bottle. It's a battle with addiction. It's a battle with loose living. It's a battle with the gutter. It's a battle with sin. It's a battle with the devil. It seems like we get one thing fixed and something else breaks. Constant battle. How long since he was a child? As long as I can remember. As long as I can remember, the devil has controlled his life. As long as I can remember. Number one, we see the question Jesus asked. But in verse 22, we see the statement the father made. And oft times, it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Listen. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see that? Here's the statement the father made. The father said, if you can do anything, help us. Can't you feel for the father? Here's a father who's on his knees. I've been on my knees praying for my children. You've been on your knees praying for your children. And we prayed to the God of heaven, maybe like this father prayed, and said, if you can do anything, help us. If you can do anything, help us. Our child is sick. Our child is suffering. Our child is struggling. If you can do anything, help us. Look at verse 23. Here's what Jesus said. The Bible says we see the promise that Jesus shared. Jesus said to him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Take your Bible and do this. Look in verse 22 and find the little word if. The father said to Jesus, if thou can. Find the word if in verse 23. If thou can. If thou can do anything. Jesus said, if thou can believe, all things are possible. Friend, the father said to Jesus, he said, if you can do anything, if you can do anything. And Jesus said to him, he said, if you can believe, all things, underline anything, circle anything, underline all things, circle all things, pull them together and understand that Jesus said this. You and I might come saying, God, can you do anything? And Jesus is going to say, I can do all things if you believe. If you believe. In this room today, there are those of us that are burdened. There are those of us who are hurting. There are those of us who are struggling. There's those of us who don't know which way to turn. But I want you to know there is a place for you to go. And the Bible says, like this father in Mark chapter 9, you need to bring your son. You need to bring your daughter. You need to bring your burden for your friend. Whatever it is, you need to bring it to Jesus and say, I believe. Help my unbelief. You see that last point? The testimony the father gave. When Jesus said, if you believe, the father was honest. He said, I believe. And then he was real honest. Help my unbelief. You see, it's one thing for you and me today to say this. I believe. Yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe Jesus can. I believe that Jesus will. I believe that Jesus could. But this father, he backed it up. He said, I believe. And then he said, Lord Jesus, I need for you to shove me. I need for you to push me along. Help my unbelief. There's a part of me that doubts. There's a part of me that struggles. There's a part of me that's the flesh. There's a part of me that is always pulling the other direction. He said, I believe, but he said, help my unbelief. Last of all, not only do we see the situation that existed and the conversation that ensued, but then finally we see the dedication that was endorsed. The Bible tells us that Jesus said to them, he said, bring me the child, and they brought the child, and Jesus took the child and healed the child. So much so that the demon was gone, it seemed like life had left the child. But then Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up. May I tell you, friend, that the Bible tells us, At that moment, at that time, now this, can you imagine the father? Can you imagine the child? Can you imagine the situation? Can you imagine a young man who is delivered by a demon? Now stop just a minute. Look right here. There's not one person in this room. Brother Eddie's the oldest preacher I know in this room. There's not one preacher from the oldest to the very youngest. Dustin's probably the youngest. There's not one preacher from the oldest to the youngest. Brother Bob, are you older than Brother Eddie? Brother Bob. From Brother Bob all the way to Dustin. There's not one preacher here that can cast out a demon. Not one. There's not one Christian here that can cast out a demon. We don't have that ability. If we could cast out demons, we could heal the sick and raise the dead. We don't have that ability. They had it in New Testament times because they did not have the Old Testament and New Testament Bible that you and I hold in our hand, the power of God that's sharper than a two-edged sword. But I said that to say this, preacher, what can I do? I've got a friend or I've got a child that I believe the devil's got a hold of them, a demon possessed possibly, but devil influenced for sure. What can I do? Here's what you do. You take the gospel, and you share it with them. And the Bible says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. What it means is this, is the gospel has the dynamite to be able to knock down the walls that the flesh, the devil, and sin put up. That's what it means. That's why the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church has the battering ram, the gospel, and we reach the lost, and we reach those who are losing. They may be saved, but their life is not doing well. We reach them with the word of God, and as a result of that, then the devil comes in, he whips the demon, and everything's okay. Now listen to me. The Bible says that Jesus healed this boy, and then the church did something. They said, why could not we cast him out? Verse 28. The disciples got around the Lord and they said, why couldn't we cast him out? What happened? Why couldn't we do this? I want you to see something. Power with God demands faith. Go back in Matthew chapter 17. It's the same story, just from a different perspective. Matthew is looking at it and he says this. Verse 19, Matthew 17. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Same story. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Did you hear that? Why couldn't we cast him out? Because of your unbelief. Why don't we have power with God? Why are we not seeing more people saved in our church? Why are we not making more of a difference? What is wrong? Because of your unbelief. That's what he said. You know, sometimes it just hurts to be so honest. When you look in the mirror, the Bible, the book of James calls the Bible a mirror. When you look in the mirror of the Word of God and you see there, why is it we don't have power with God? Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, little bitty seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Do you see what Jesus said? Jesus said plainly, he said, the reason we don't have power with God is because of unbelief. What do we need? We need faith. What do we need? We need prayer. Power with God comes by faith and prayer. We have to ask God. We have to believe God. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to challenge you to be as honest as this father. I want to challenge you. Don't even look at the disciples. Look at the father. Be as honest as he was. He had more power with God that day than the whole church. The father said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm going to challenge you to do that. I'm going to challenge you to say, Lord, Why aren't we seeing something happen? Because of your unbelief. These kind come not out but by prayer and fasting. Number one, we need to know power with God comes by faith and prayer. Power with God also comes by sacrifice, fasting. Brother Maddox, what does the Bible teach about fasting? I told the earlier crowd, it teaches the opposite of what we all do. Most of us don't fast. What is fasting? Well, technically, fasting is doing without food. We fast for this meal. We fast. Sometimes the doctors will say, I need you to fast overnight because of a test tomorrow. Fasting is doing without food. But in the spiritual sense, what is fasting about related to our Christian life? Fasting is still doing without food. But what it really says is this: I'm sacrificing. I'm going to sacrifice my appetite of the flesh so that I can be closer to God. I'm going to fast this day so that I can draw closer to God. I'm going to fast this week so I can draw closer to God. Some people say, I'm going to fast all the week, every evening meal, so during that time I can draw closer to God. All types of fasting you can do. But here's the truth. Jesus said, this type of miracle, this type of work only comes through prayer and fasting. Friend, we didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. You got to sacrifice. We don't do much sacrificing. It may be too cold in the room, but we go to an air-conditioned church. We sit on padded pews. We drive fine cars. We wear nice clothes. We got money in the bank. There's not much sacrificing by the church. Here's what Jesus said. He said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Power with God? Well, we got to pray and have faith and believe. And then we've got to sacrifice. But then he said this: power with God provides victory. Because you see, Jesus was able to heal the boy. How is it we could not? The very fact that they asked the question was that they saw that Jesus did. Jesus had power with God. Now then, I want you to know, in other places in your Bible, you'll find the church having power with God. On this occasion, they did not have power with God. But in other places, they had great power with God. Brother Maddox, I want to have the power of the Lord. What do I do? I want you to do this. I want you to get on your face before God and be honest like this father. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And then as a church, I want you to do what Jesus said in response to these men. I want us to have faith. If we just had a little bit of faith, we could move mountains. Jesus said that. I want you to pray. Not just talk about praying, but actually pray. And then I want us to sacrifice. Prayer and fasting. Sacrifice. Go beyond the status quo. And then we'll see the power of God that comes from people being saved and lives being changed and God doing great works. Now then, personally, preacher, I've got a burden. I've got a burden for a friend. I've got a burden for family. I've got a burden in my own life. I've got a burden. What do I do? Why don't you do what the Father did? Bring your burden to Jesus. Put it right here. And don't pick it up in the sense that I'm going to try to fix it myself. But instead, get right here and just say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, you can fix this. I trust you to do it. Help my unbelief. Most of us bring our burdens and we weep over them. We're brokenhearted. But then we pick them back up and we carry them off saying, well, I'll fix it. I'll work it out. Don't do that. You can still have your burden, but don't try to fix your burden. Give your burden to the Lord. The song says, leave it there. Leave it there. Let's bow our heads together. Father, Lord, we need you today. God, it's a simple message. And yet at the same time, it's where we live every day, and that makes it profound. We need you to work in our church. We need you to work in our individual lives. God, we have burdens. All of us do. Lord, help us to just in our heart say, I believe, help my unbelief. And help us to bring our burden to you like this man brought his son to you and trusted you. Because all things are possible. Lord, we're going to let you do it, and we're not going to try to fix it ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.